Where do you want to start today? Has anyone got any questions or things you want to do? Feel free.
I'm good. I've been just right now, I'm kind of like in the just soaking things in, enjoying stuff. I guess I got higher. Now I'm just enjoying the ride. So I'm good.
Right, okay. Okay. So has anyone got anything they want to ask? Or what would you like to do today? In terms of what we did last time, has anyone followed that back up in terms of their own situations?
Gracie, go ahead.
Yeah, you always
Gracie.
go want me to go. It's
I
like
know.
always pushing me to the front. Okay, I don't mind. I don't know if you had time to look at our what do you call it? The thing that we did, the Google Hangout that we did, where we went in the last time we met Lainey and Cindy and Jody and I. We went in and did some governmental stuff with the Buddha Blue Man or whatever. And I didn't know if you had time to look at that.
No, I didn't. I didn't in the end. I chose. I get so many things that I have to sort of. It's. I find Facebook quite difficult to follow.
Okay.
Once something comes, then it sort of gets lost in everything else. Whereas normally, I usually use Outlook or something, and I just put things in sort of diaries to be able to do. So I just missed it. It sort of got lost in my Facebook land. So, but ask something about it if you want to.
Well, we had gone through this, and you guys probably need to refresh my memory because my brain's a little foggy this morning, but we'd gone through a series of encounters and this amazing encounter, and we ended up doing some legislative things. And I'm really conscious of, and Cindy had said, send it to Mike, and make sure that we're not doing something that's gonna, really harm us, so that we're not stepping outside of our tent pegs. And I remember once when I was in France and we were doing a worship night, and I was, I just felt led to, start praying down the Queen of Heaven, and I told somebody, and they're like, "Man, you better watch what you're doing." So, just really conscious about that. And I think it was Cindy who felt the need for you to look at it, just for us, as far as I mean, we were all felt led to do that. And so I guess the question would be, is that okay, when you're led like that, then you have the authority to do that? I mean, we just went with what was going, and we went down this pathway and then finished and went, oh goodness, okay. We just kind of dealt with something in the area, and well, the four of us just went, was that okay to do that? And so.
Yeah, well, in anything, if you're operating within the mandate that you have, which you have to decide what is it that God's given you together to be able to say whether that's within or without. I mean, if your mandate is to your area or your nation, and you sort of wanted to do something in Australia or something, then you just have to. You have to make sure that what God is asking you to do lines up with, what He's already authorized you to do. In general, if I tend to go with my spirit, and go with the flow of that, I wouldn't say that you're gonna run into any danger or anything like that, unless you're really trying to tackle some sort of, I remember Robert Henderson recently. I heard him talk about a couple of ladies who decided to tackle the principality over New York, and but where they didn't have the authority to do so, and they ran into some serious trouble. But so long as you're staying within areas that God has called you to, that I don't see any real problem in that. And particularly if you are feeling in agreement together, then you go with that sort of agreement. In terms of, I don't know what you legislated. Were you legislating for something specifically for your area, or you have authority in your own lives to legislate anything according to
you. No, this was more citywide.
Yeah.
And it was, Jody and I had gone into an encounter, and we had gone on our mountains, and we were looking out, and it was actually what is sitting over this area that makes people fall asleep. And I don't know, you guys can chime in anytime you want, but and then we kind of stopped, and I felt like the blue man that I saw, he was sitting, he was sitting on top of the mountains in the area, and Jody and I felt, okay, we need to do this, and it ended up being us four, where we ended up being a bench. It felt safer with the four of us. If we actually went and got a mandate for it, and because we're, you said do everything with a mandate, so that's what I'm doing. So
yeah, well, no, but if you have a mandate, then there's no issue. I mean, because God has authorized you with the mandate. It's only really when you're sometimes our heart's desires can, or our compassion can lead us to move into something.
Right.
We see, I don't know, say something happens in a world event, and our hearts are stirred, but we may not have a mandate for that, and sometimes we can act out of compassion without necessarily having a mandate to operate it. So in this instance, you're operating within your city area. You're looking to see that which is hindering a flow of God's kingdom. That's perfectly fine. I mean, I think the key there is to just make sure you're using the strategy that God gives you. Go with the declarations or whatever to pray that through as you're doing it. You won't run into any problems doing that sort of administration of the kingdom. And if you're ever concerned, just go and talk to Wisdom and ask her to help you with the protocols of ruling, because she's very, very keen in terms of helping us understand protocols, particular in those type of things. I mean, there's certain things that, I wouldn't necessarily encourage someone to do unless they really felt clear, particularly like going into Satan's trophy room and places like that, and until you've got a real clear mandate for that, I wouldn't encourage people just to go and out of inquisitiveness or just to go and see what things are like, but it seems to me that you guys are functioning fairly maturely in what you're called to do, so go for it, go with the flow as your spirit just flows out. And if one of you sort of felt, ooh, I'm just not sure about that, then okay, then there's a thing there to afterwards to review and just to make sure. But I mean, I wouldn't have any problems in terms of what you're doing. This seems great.
Okay.
I
have to say that the getting the mandate is probably one of the biggest key things that right now for me. I mean, it's just like I've done things without them and then now done things with them, and it's so much easier.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. I mean, it's like not even – it's very hard to – there's no striving. There's no nothing. It's everything's – cleared in front of you, and it's just, it's wow. It'll make you go and do that every single time.
Yeah. I think really that's really where you know, getting this thing of this is how Jesus functioned. He only did what he saw the Father doing, and then what he saw the Father doing, he then had an authorization to do. You know, we all know that scripture. Jesus did nothing without, you know, we know that scripture, but actually we didn't really have a way of actually finding out what it is we should do. You know, now, you know, we have the heavens open and we can access the courts, you know, and particularly around the ark. I mean, I think that's the key place for opening up our hearts to receive those mandates. Then, you know, everything changes really in accordance with that. And then we can begin to frame our day, you know, according to what God has revealed, and we have faith to step into it. I mean, I think that's, you know, a lot of people you talk to, they sort of, well, how did your day go? Well, it was all right, you know. And there's no sense that they fulfilled something that God's called them to, because really they just floated through the day and, you know, got through it. Whereas, you know, we need to approach each day with a sense of purpose and direction. And that's what a mandate gives you. You know, I've certainly... I've changed, you know, how I approach a lot of things now, and you know, my expectations of releasing government and kingdom government have increased, because you know, I've actually seen, as you say, the difference it makes when you know clearly that you're doing what God has instructed you and guided you and directed you to do. You know, there's a general sense of lots of things we could do, but actually, why not do the things that we are called to do that day? You know, on a daily basis. So, no, I think mandates are really, really important. And I think they will become more key as we begin to be directed to do some things in the future that may well call us to think, ooh, that's a little bit odd, or that's strange, or that's really going for it outside of our comfort zones. When we know that we've been directed, then, you know, you can by faith engage it, and I think there's a lot more to come in these areas, I think, that God is revealing, you know, because once you establish that you're called to manifest heaven on earth and to administer the kingdom and to see our effect changing and transforming things around us, then we take it more seriously, you know. Rather than, you know, I'm not saying it's not fun and it's not engaging, but it is a responsibility, you know, particularly if you begin to engage in, as a bench in that sort of level of authority, then it is a responsibility, you know, that what we have and we carry, so we really want to make sure that we are exercising that responsibility with wisdom. And so it makes clear sense to go and get authorization before we do something. You know, and the authorization releases the angelic to operate within it. You know, it's no wonder we didn't have that many angels involved in things when we were doing things we weren't authorized to. So, you know, they love wanting to be involved in God's missions. And so when we're in agreement and cooperating as a co-heir with those missions, then, you know, angels are lining up to be involved. So yeah, so it's all good. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So my husband and I find ourselves right smack in the center of Portland in the art community. We own a picture framing business, and now he's been elevated to a president position at a art council with the Portland Art Museum, and it's a pretty, it's just like it happened like over the last couple of years where he was just launched into this arena where he has a lot of people that just think he's amazing. And so a lot of gay couples, we go to these events, and Todd says he smoozes, but a lot of them invite, they want us to be in their life. They like us. And so my question is, we're not in a position at this point to really reveal, I mean, his employees, he has six employees, and a couple of them, well, one of them is gay, and he just, is very diversified in his what he does, but we're not in a position, and they all know we're believers, but we're not in a position to go out with people and then lead them to Jesus. You know, it's like we have a bigger picture outlook. Look, my question is, as we open up our hearts to these people, is it safe to, I mean, not safe, but when they want us to go out with them and build relationship with them. And of course, Todd is good with this, but I have that little religious spirit that says, do not fellowship and do this with these people. I mean, if we're going to open up our heart, how big do we open up our heart?
Okay.
I guess it's kind of a random general question, but I wondered if you know of any experience where there's guidelines as far as how far you can go opening up your heart without going too far anyway.
Okay, well, we are biblically not encouraged to associate with those who are within the church who actually are operating in sin, but in terms of the world, what else would we expect them to be operating in if they don't know God? So when it comes to, there's a distinction there which, those that are involved in things which aren't right within the body have an effect on the body, and therefore we are responsible to making sure that that effect is minimized, and we need to go to those people, and we need to share in a culture of honor with people in terms of sin and with issues. So we go to them, and if someone's got a problem with us, we again go to them if they're not coming to us. So there's a biblical mandate for making sure that we keep relationships correct and right, and that we challenge unrighteousness in love. We speak the truth in love to challenge those areas so that we will help someone to repent, renounce, grow, and overcome things. But within the world, we wouldn't have any involvement in the world if we actually did the same thing. So we have to be able to engage with people, and those people that are within our mountain spheres, we have the right to engage them if we carry those things in our hearts. So, if you have a work mountain that's associated with the area of work that you have, then you have authorization to begin to administer your workplace and therefore to release an atmosphere of heaven into your workplace, to release the Holy Spirit through you and to in the atmosphere around you to engage with people, so that God will start working in their lives. And if we come over as judgmental or in any way critical, then we're not really coming out of the heart of God. Now, that doesn't mean we have to agree with what everyone does and how they live. And I think we need to come from a perspective of grace and mercy and love, but be willing to share what we believe, and that is God loves them. And in any sense, if they were a thief or if they were a drug addict or anything else, we would be saying, look, that's not the best lifestyle for you. And, and the same applies in this. It's not, we have to differentiate people from their behavior, and we need to show love and create the culture of honor with them where they actually begin to ask us because, if they're operating in that sort of lifestyle, that comes with consequences, and often because of they're wounded and emotionally damaged, and therefore we need to offer healing, But the greatest thing we can offer is a relationship with Jesus, and we allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction on people. I think the church is too condemning and in a way which is not demonstrating the love of God. I mean, Jesus, did talk to the woman in adultery and said, go sin no more. But I think for us, my view is that we operate again within the spheres of authority we have, and we go and get a mandate for operating in relationship with people and a strategy for how we should deal with them. You know, and if God gives us a strategy that for certain people that we need to say this, we need to do that, then that's what we do. And so rather than just hoping things will be okay, no, let's go and make sure we're clear. And there are ways in which we can administer the kingdom from our mountains around those people's lives, to Saint Angels, to opening up opportunities for emotional conversations and getting behind where people are at, because all of a sudden they find that situations happen and therefore they're looking for help or wisdom from someone. And if you are the person that you're demonstrating the kingdom and love to them, then they're likely to come. You know, and some of it, I think, in all these things, what is the strategy that we're having from heaven to deal with it, rather than what we would have done before, what the church has done historically? Let's get a fresh expression of kingdom in those situations. And, you know, by opening up your heart to them, you're not opening up your heart to their sin. You are receiving them into your heart so that you have authority to look into their situations and administer the kingdom into it. And therefore, there's nothing wrong in that. You know, you can't be tainted by somebody else's sin by loving them. Because what does it say? Love covers a multitude of sins. And therefore, by loving and demonstrating love, you are going to create an environment where they will begin to be open. And, you know, and our love can't be conditional. It has to be unconditional, otherwise it's not God's love. You know, otherwise we would have never become saved in the first place, because he would have already separated himself from us because of sin. Well, he died for us while we were yet sinners, and that love is available for others in those dimensions. And I think I would operate in that situation for my workplace mandate, and look to administer the kingdom from there, you know, releasing an atmosphere through my life that would bring conviction. You know, the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and that's not us. We don't have to try and convict somebody. The Holy Spirit can bring conviction, you know, because if we accept people, it opens them up. You can also go into the courts and you can stand in identification repentance on their behalf, and you can stand in intercession in that way and look into and see the accusations that are against them that the enemy is bringing, and why he has brought those accusations, and therefore what was it in their history or their family history or whatever that the enemy uses to draw them into those wrong sorts of relationship. So it's, again, using the different things that we have in terms of kingdom authority to administer it. Another thing you can do, you know, if you pray for and release forgiveness to them, Jesus said, you know, what we forgive will be forgiven. And therefore we can release forgiveness from our mountains over those that we have authority within our spheres. And if you do that at the right time, particularly when they go to sleep, then the Holy Spirit can work on them all night, can bring dreams, can bring visions, because the only power the enemy has over them is sin. So if you forgive their sin, again, you can use the court system to do that, then the enemy has no power until they sin again. And they don't sin in their sleep, so sleep is a good time for God to actually work and bring visions and dreams to people that you really have a heart to see saved and blessed and released. And there's a whole different strategy around that, which are some of the keys of the kingdom that we can operate in. You know, you can begin to bind those people to their destiny in God and loose them from the restrictions that are holding them back and hindering them exploring God. And some of them don't, some of them actually inherently know within their own life that there's something amiss with their lifestyle. But because they feel judged and condemned, and they feel that God would judge and condemn them already, because that's what the church portrays a lot of the time, they don't feel they have any place to come to God because they're already judged. And so we have to help them to realize that God is waiting to receive them, to minister to them, and allow God to do that. You know, when we try and force the issues with people, then things get in trouble. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work and we continue to administer that around people's lives, then I believe that we will see great transformation take place in people. But we've got to be careful that we don't come from that religious perspective that often comes with a legalistic approach to something. You know, and so, yeah, I don't know if that helps or not.
That was excellent. I'm excited. It brings such a different perspective, and it just it's all love, is what it is.
Absolutely.
And it's just coming at them with hearts of love to embrace them. Yeah. And it's neat to be able to have mandates and things that we can do, and not just sit and wait, but actually step in.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Yeah. Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Anyone else? Yep.
I just quickly, just a question. You know, we've gone into the courts, we've gone in and prayed for people, and we've done that. But something I've been doing regularly now is going to my mountain, and then I'm seeing other people's mountain and putting things on them. I don't have really a sense of why I'm doing that, other than giving them things they don't have. And just praying for revelation that they see the goodness of God. And I'm just wondering, have you done that, or is that just something I'm out in left field on?
No, I mean, I you're not in the left field at all. I think some of this, again, you know, when you operate on your mountain, you need to go with the flow of how the Spirit directs you to administer. And, you know, what we're looking to do with people is to see them embrace their destiny, you know, and their destiny is agreed eternally, and therefore we can pray, or we can declare, and we can speak that destiny over them. And if we see things that are associated with their destiny, then we can release those things to them, you know, they may be spiritual things, there may be things that we see in the realm of the Spirit. Again, if we're carrying someone within our hearts and they're within our sphere, then there are certain rights that we have to administer the kingdom and to bless them. You know, blessing is not just for those who are within the body in that sense. We can bless those. You know, even those that treat us badly, we're supposed to bless them. You know, so releasing blessing is a key. So if you're seeing things that are opportunity to release blessing, to release things to those lives, it's all part of the journey and the process. I think, you know, these things and the things that God will show us will just expand the whole dimensions of understanding in terms of the things we do from our mountains. You know, some people sort of talk about prayer and stuff, you know, in terms of praying and asking God to do something. You know, I don't think I ever pray like that anymore. Yeah, you know, because I go and talk to God and then go and do things as a son. You know, I don't talk to him and ask him to do something, because he's already mandated me to do things. And if I seek first the kingdom, his righteousness in all that I do, then, you know, he releases me to bless people and to minister to them, even if they may never know. That's not the point. The point is that releases God. See, what we do in under God's judgment is we release that judgment to others. So if we release forgiveness and blessing to people, then that releases God to do that. If we hold unforgiveness against anyone, it stops God touching their lives, positively or negatively in reality, because we're holding that, and that's not our business to hold. So we need to release things to people positively, and also make sure we're not holding any negative things towards people, so that we can allow God, and that opens God, opens it up for God to start moving in people's lives. So no, definitely a good thing to do. And I may, God may show you some pretty interesting things that you need to release to people. You know, and calling forth blessing and favor on people's lives so that they will see the goodness of God. You know, being salt and light is part of that whole thing of being light to people. And I love the Message version of the Bible where it talks about being multicolored and expressing the multicolored facets of God to people in the way we behave and live. You know, and in those things, that's what we're doing, really. We're allowing God to touch people's lives because we're opening up the opportunities for him to do so. You know, I think people don't realize how powerful we are and how much power and authority we've been given in this realm to bring dominion. And, you know, we are called to administer those things. You know, and so, you know, communicating with those people's angels. You know, those people have angels assigned to them because they're heirs of salvation before they become believers. And you can communicate with their angels, and you can direct their angels also. You know, there's so many different things that we're learning and what we can do because we're now operating in the realm of heaven rather than trying to do everything from the natural realm and running out of ideas pretty quick. You know, there's no shortage of ideas and strategies in heaven. We just need to go and find them and then administer them. So, yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to do?
Maybe we could get some strategies. I'd like to learn how to do that. I don't think I've actually gone in to get strategies yet. That seems very helpful, Mike. I'd like to learn how to do that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, the best way of learning how to do it is to go and do it.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can follow that process through.
Okay.
And,
so. Okay, yeah. I can give you an example of something that some of us go into the New Age. We go in with a group of people, and it'd be really cool to get some ways of getting some strategies on how to release blessings over them and forgiveness to open them up to really receive more of the Creator. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. That's no problem. Okay. Well. Let's go and step in and do that. I think the key in engaging in this is the heart and opening the heart, and I think that really facilitates people and gives you authority. And so if you say, okay, we have a heart for this group of people, this people group, you know, as you come and present your heart before God, around the ark, and you open your heart up for him to write on the tablets of your heart, then he can draw those strategies, and then we can go to the court of strategy, the war court, and actually let's see what they give you. You know, and once you're giving you something, and sometimes you get something really specific and you get a scroll or you get something that you see and you can do, sometimes it's like you're not totally aware, but actually your heart will get drawn towards those things following that, because essentially we want the desires of our heart to be aligned with what God's desire is for us and for that strategy. So it's all about aligning our hearts with him. And so we can step in and do that. It'll be good. So let's do it.
Yeah, and the other ones, if you guys don't have that heart, like the New Age, like maybe some of us do, they could look for another something that their heart's drawn to.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like when we go and we stand before the presence of God, and he manifests his presence around the ark, you know, when we open up our hearts, it's there that God starts to unveil the things that are on our destiny and the different things that are for us in our lives. So, and that's where we can find our hearts begin to draw us towards those desires. And if we don't know what they are, then that's a great place for those desires to be changed. You know, I found when I started going there, there were things that I wasn't really aware of, and the more I drew near to him, the more his heart for the things that were according to my destiny began to become my heart, and my desires changed, and I was drawn to things that I wasn't before. You know, and I think it's the same in this. You may know already, and so you can bring that and open your heart for that, or you can just come and open your heart and say, God, you know, I really want to come so that you can begin to reveal to me those things that are the desires of your heart for me, for others. And all that stuff starts to take place as we begin to resonate and come into alignment and all those sorts of words of agreement that happen. So yeah, I think we can do that. So what I'd encourage you to do is, again, just begin to fix your eyes on God. Just begin to quieten yourself. Just bring that sense of rest and peace, and just come to a place of rest in Him. As you just close your eyes, just begin to think of that open heaven that's over you, that you can step into, that Jesus is standing in the doorway in the realm of heaven into the kingdom of God. And I just encourage you just to step through that doorway and just begin to engage with Him. Just allow Him to surround you with His presence. Just feel the atmosphere of heaven, the freedom, the horizon that's there, the expansion that's possible within your life. Just feel that sense as you stand in His presence. And Jesus just will take us by the hand, take us through the different veils within the realm of heaven, through the veil of the way and the truth and the life. And as we walk through those veils, we just come before His presence around the ark. So we think of His name and think of the four faces that represent His name, the Yod and the He and the Vav and the He. It's the rhythm of life, the rhythm of breath, that we breathe out that which He has put in us, and we breathe back in heaven's atmosphere of glory, and we breathe that back out, and we breathe it back in. The rhythm of life around the breath of God, the Yod, He, Vav, He of His presence, and the presence of God manifesting on the mercy seat, the light exploding from the blood of Jesus, which is there as an eternal sacrifice that brings us into alignment with Him. Just begin to really sense His presence. The lion and the ox and the eagle and the man. So we open up our hearts and allow His presence to draw near. To touch our hearts afresh. That we receive His heart for people, people groups, places. Just receive for that whole area of the New Age. Just receive His heart, how He feels. Let it be written on your heart. For each area of mandate that you have, just let His heart transform and touch you. Let the fire of His presence engage your heart. Just allow his heart, the beat of his heart, the rhythm of his heart towards those people, those mandates that you have, just allow them to draw the desires of your heart towards them. Feel the love and the compassion of the desires of God's heart towards those that he's releasing to you now. And as you receive those things within your heart, feel the authorization and the authority you have towards them to look in, to see, to engage in the realm of the spirit around them. And just receive the resource of God, the manna, his will, the revelation of his will, the frequency that he releases of his voice, that again draws you into agreement and alignment with him. Sense the authority that you have as you take up the rod for what has been released to your hearts. As I'm just looking at the scene of you around the ark, you know, I can see some real sense that you're absorbing light within your bodies. You're absorbing light within your spiritual body, that as a being of light gives you the power of creative light to release the waves of light to release as you take from this place authority. Now just allow Jesus to take you by the hand again. He'll take you through the doorway into the realm of the court of war. We can come and stand before the court with our heart opened, our mandate revealed. And as you see, in that court, that strategy room, just present your heart and the desires of your heart for those people, whether it's the New Age people, whether it's other people groups or other situations that you've received that for today. Just present your heart. Just receive insight, wisdom, revelation towards those that are in your heart that would release a strategy. Often there will be a scroll that you receive that carries that revelation and insight. I sense the cloud of witnesses are also gathering around you, because some have a call to be around your mandate. Just sense their presence. believe you're receiving an invitation from their presence that we can go to the court of the upright later. Now, again, just allow Jesus to take you by the hand again, carrying what you've received as strategy. We're going to go to the court of angels. Let him take you to the court of angels to present the scroll and the strategy to see the alignment and the those that are aligned there waiting to be authorized to come into the outworking of your strategy. That you carry with you from this place the authorization to commission or send or release those angels from your mountain. Just see the different angelic orders that will align themselves with you. Again, just let Jesus take you by the hand. And he would take you again through the dimensions into the realm of heaven with the court of the upright. That again, you carry with you that which is your scroll. An authorization, and as you step into the court of the upright, the cloud of witnesses are around you, and see those that would step forward. Often there will be some thrones that those associated with your mandate will take, and before them they have mantles and a flaming torch. As they would trade into your mandate and your scroll for this people, groups, and situations that you have today. Again, they can release wisdom and insight from their past experience and from their engagements to help you with wisdom as you move forward. I see a number who are carrying mantles. I see some that have blue mantles. I see some with red mantles. Some with green mantles. And I see several who have a multicolored mantle to release. Just engage with them. Just let your heart be open. Now Jesus again just takes you by the hand, leads you back through those dimensions to your mountain on the realm of the top of the kingdom of God, with your seven mountains beneath, and you come to that mountain carrying the mandate for today, the strategy, the authorization with the orders of angels, wisdom from the cloud of witnesses, and just allow your spirit now to, as you're seated with your crown, your mantle, and your scepter, just allow your spirit to release, to call forth, to declare, to release the strategy that you've received. Just let it flow out as you administer the kingdom, as you release angels to the atmosphere of the earth, as you release angels to engage, preparing the way, as you call forth, as you bind, as you loose, as you release that strategy that you've received from your mountain, administer the kingdom. Release the light that you absorbed around the ark. Release it creatively to call things that be not as if they were, to transform and terraform areas that you've been authorized to administer. I feel also, because of the level you're operating in terms of kingly authority, that Jesus would just authorize you and take you, let him take you now to the court of scribes. The court of scribes contains the written records for your life and the life of others, but also for the people groups that you have brought forth today, and you can receive and see what is written in the destiny that God has into a deeper level within God. And as you learn to legislate and bring legislative documents, this is where those documents will be written into accepted law within the kingdom for you to administer. So the mandate that you've received today, the strategy, if you feel to release that, the scribes can write it and add it to the records. Also feel that Jesus would authorize you to engage with wisdom. Just allow him to take you again through the dimensions to the heights where wisdom, where the pathways meet. And I encourage you to engage with wisdom. The pillars of wisdom now look deep into her eyes. So I believe he's going to open up another dimension to you to administer the kingdom, to go to the enemy's camp to take back the inheritance and that which has been robbed for the people groups, for the people that are involved in your mandates. Just engage with wisdom, draw near to her, just feel an expansion of your capacity to understand. Feel the boldness because you carry within your hearts this mandate. Wisdom just takes you to the doorway, opens the door for you to go through. The doorway is to take you under the earth. You're carried in fire, but you can go and you can engage with Satan's trophy room. Just allow wisdom to guide you. As you go through the fire, your heart and the motives of your heart is refined. Use your authorization with the scepter you carry to open the door into the trophy room. And as you step in, just sense, feel, and sense that place of despair and hopelessness, and yet you're bringing hope. See those people whose destinies and scrolls are trophies. Inheritances that have been lost. Just encourage you to engage, allow wisdom to lead you and direct you to claim back that which is associated with your mandate. take back what has been stolen. Release generational inheritance. Now, wisdom just brings you back through the doorway. And she takes you through the door to access into the mountain of God, the city of Zion, to bring you before the throne room of God, in which all that you've received today, you can cast before him as your crowns and just acknowledge who he is as king. Just feel the awe of his majesty. As you engage him, with glory and honor, power and might and dominion and blessing belong to him, the creator, the sustainer, the savior, the father. Just honor him. Just release your honor, your praise, your worship. Just let it flow out in appreciation for all that he's revealed to you, all that's been written on your hearts. Just honor him. Now just allow Jesus to come, take you by the hand, bring you back through the veils and the dimensions, to carry with you that which you've received, the authorizations, the strategy, the revelation, the insight. Bring it back into this realm, so that you can administer here as a gateway of heaven through your life, around the atmosphere of your life, flowing with rivers of living water, shining with light. Okay, well,
that was good. That was good.
Okay.
Whoa. Okay. That was wild. wow.
Yeah, thank you. That was powerful.
Okay. Fine. I mean, feel free to share something if you want to share anything or, you know, any of the places. But, you know, some of these things are, they're things you bring back and you ponder and you meditate on and you see how the desires of your heart will be drawn towards those things that you've received. You know, and you, again, this is just a doorway for you to go back. You know, I know we don't stay too long in each place, but you can go back there and look to engage and build up that pathway for yourselves and so that you can step into those places when you need to. You know, it's pretty, you know, did any of you engage with the Satan's Trophy Room? I've never taken anyone there before. But I really felt, you know, you, God is authorizing you to engage there. So
I know, it was so funny how you started out telling us we probably shouldn't go on in there, and then you took us.
Well, you can go when you're sort of taken.
No, I thought, this is cool. I like how this works. But okay. It's so funny because I had my scepter, and I just put it out, and, like, it was almost like it was magnetized because all of the things just, like, came onto my scepter and into my scepter, drew all of these destinies and trophies and things right into it. It was just like, whoa. And then it just like came back out. When we came back out, it was just like a stream of light coming out of there. It was amazing.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, brilliant.
And I've had a hard time engaging. Bracy, I think, are you talking, Bracy? Oh, you're muted, girl. You're muted somehow.
Okay. There we go.
There she is.
Okay.
What were you saying?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, that was going into that trophy room. that was well, it was interesting because when Wisdom was leading us down to that room, I could feel like the fear and the I was almost didn't want to go there, and but I felt really enclosed and encased. It felt really evil and like really hot, and I was like crouching underneath her, you know, like under like this big wing, and I was like, yo, really close. And you said I had a scepter, and then I went, oh yeah, okay, I do. And the little scepter went, and I hit the door, and it opened. And immediately when I went inside, my heart was so, I could see everything that had been stolen, and it was so sad.
Yeah.
It was, because I've been going into the, you know, I've been doing a whole bunch of thing about trying to retrieve all the inheritance that's been stolen from me. And I just saw all the land that had been stolen from me. I mean, so much land. And, I was carrying France. France is one of my nations, and so I just was. There's a town with my name in it in France, and I was seeing how, and it's actually a town where my husband grew up. So it's all really weird. And so I just saw how that land had been stolen, and so I just was pointing out the things. I don't even know what they were, but they were there was a lot of them, and they I have this like huge diamond in my chest that the Lord put in there a while ago. So I was just grabbing stuff. I don't even know what it was, and just putting them in my diamond. and just weeping at how much has been stolen and the devastation that it causes through the inheritance and the generations that my grandmother and, you know, her mother, you know. Anyway, so that was just, that was incredible. And then coming out to that, it was like, it felt different coming out than it did going in. So coming out, there was a little, I felt, you know, a little safer. Going in was interesting.
Yep. Yeah, because the enemy would want to intimidate us and say we have no access there. But if we carry something in our heart, then we have access to what that which we carry within our heart. You know.
And so you could feel I could feel the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could feel the fire of the evil, which when you were leading, I was like, I don't know. Okay.
Okay, good, excellent. Okay, does anyone else want to share anything?
I was trying to reason with the devil, and I was trying to make it, like, I guess I was trying to make him seem like a good person. Like, hey, you know, you can turn your ways. Why are you stealing my things? And wisdom just took me out, and she said, no, he's just going to be like that. So that was interesting.
So, okay, good. Okay.
You know, the thing that I love these encounters is because it just brings us so close to how awesome God is.
Yeah.
So how he's done it all, you know, and it just breaks your heart. I don't know if break your heart is the right word, but it just opened your heart to just be willing to just be that drink offering to everybody. And I think that's what I'm still kind of in that place because it's so incredible.
Yeah, no, that's good. Excellent. Okay, that's great. Well, okay, well, we'll leave it there.